You're good to go.
Thank you. So we'll call the meeting of the Point Phase One PID numbers 1 through 9 to order at 9:02 a.m. I've got the agenda up here on the screen and has been distributed in the board packet. I'd entertain any additions or changes to the agenda or a motion to approve as presented.
I'll motion to approve the agenda as presented.
In a second. Thank you, Jay. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Public comment. I don't see any members of public on the call, but if there are any present online or at our anchor location we have up on the screen there, now would be the time if you'd like to make a comment. Hearing none, moving forward to the minutes from the last meeting on April 23rd, those are also in the packet. I entertain any changes to the minutes or a motion to approve as presented.
I'll move to approve.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Megan, do you want to run with the next few of these?
Yeah, happy to. Good morning, everyone. So we're just going to start with a new process to confirm that someone is at the anchor location. I think I saw a screenshot of someone being there.
When you say there's a screenshot of someone being here, what do you mean?
Just like on their video profile of someone at a big conference desk room, or you're at the anchor location, Robert, and there's no members of the public there. It's just a new process.
Yeah, so we have that room designated. There was no one there. I've just come next door to my desk rather than being in that anchor location. But we have the room kind of occupied, ready should someone come. But since no one was come, I've moved back over into here.
Perfect. Just confirming. Okay? Yeah, that's totally okay, just for the record. So the first item on your agenda today is ratification of the pre-construction services agreement with Layton. This has gone through a couple back and forth, is fully signed, and they're ready to get going. So this is just here for ratification. Just looking for a motion.
Yeah, just one comment real quick. This pre-construction services agreement has been obviously signed, and they've been acting under this agreement for some time. There's a shortly coming, probably a full construction agreement coming, you know, for the construction services, but this is for services that effectively we've been already kind of, you know, utilizing, and this is purely just ratification of what's been happening, right?
Correct.
Okay. I'll motion to approve the pre-construction services agreement.
I'll ratify. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The next item is a fifth additional services addendum with Kinley Horn. Thank you for going to the price page. It's $12,000, and I know Austin and Barrett are on the line if you have any questions about their fair market value determination. Hearing
no questions for me.
Maybe I'll just add a comment for context with the board members. So I've gone through this with Austin and Barrett, and we've kind of gone through going through each invoice. They've been sending questions back, categorizing the different costs as, you know, 100% developer shared, particularly where we've had some, where it gets a little bit harder to see is like on our architecture invoices where they're working on multiple projects and you just have one architect billing time. We've had to go through and categorize each of those. So we've met with the architects to have them provide us with more clear billing, in addition to their regular invoices to provide us with better schedules that show project by project. But just appreciate the work for the connection team to go through and review those, and just to give context to the board that, you know, that's been an effort and focus over the last 60 days or so. And we'll continue to do that. So,
and Zach, this being a Kinley Horn one, Kinley, they're billing. We don't have the conflict that we had with with Arcadis, Kimley's are pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah, and sorry, I was jumping the gun here just when we started talking about invoices. We'll get to, I guess, the connection ones here in a minute. But so this is, yeah, no, this one, you're right, Robert. This is Kimley with the district. But that with the connection one, my comments were related more to the connection invoices that are coming up. So,
okay. Any comments or questions on this invoice for Kimley? I'll motion to approve this invoice. I should say the invoice, the fifth additional services addendum.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. The next item is a resolution designating the anchor location for meetings. As you'll see in these link statutes, the law change effective May 6th to require the anchor location be within the boundaries of the governing jurisdiction or near the district's boundaries. You have a bit of a unique situation because PALMSLA doesn't have really a set boundary when you think about PALMSLA as an entity that approved your governing document. It's a little different than if Draper or Salem or someone like that approved your governing document. So the best we've come up with is meeting at Wadsworth's offices, which is the address you see at the bottom of paragraph 2, which is near the district's boundaries. Once there's actually buildings within the district that the public can get to and you can actually meet there, we'll change the acre location to be within the district boundaries. But obviously at this time, it's not safe being an active construction site to meet in the district's boundaries. Happy to answer any questions or if anyone wants to add any additional context before we call for a vote.
Megan, you had made a comment about it being within the governing bodies or the district's location. I wanted to be clear. Does it have to be within PALMSLA? I'm assuming it has to be within the district, the PID boundary, not PALMSLA's boundary.
So there's a level of choices, Robert. So the first is within the PIDs boundaries. But as you know, you have PIDs 1 through 9, and they don't have overlapping boundaries. So it's very hard to have one meeting in 9 spots. So then the statute says, okay, the next best thing you can do is within PALMSLA's boundaries. But that's a little bit amorphous, right? PALMSLA is not a city or a town or a county that has defined boundaries, right?
No, I would actually disagree, Megan. I think it is pretty defined, actually. It calls out the 600 acres and it has been platted. It's defined.
With a building where people could meet?
No, not with a building. I'm just saying it's territory. Oh, it's area.
But PALMSLA as a territory has the 600 acres, yeah.
Okay. So thanks for correcting that record. So PALMSLA doesn't have somewhere it can meet either. Nowhere within the PID boundaries you can meet. So the next best thing is near the PID boundaries.
Correct.
Which we think is Wadsworth's offices for now.
Across the freeway.
Yeah.
This isn't forever.
That's pretty close to the site. So I would call that near.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's what this resolution does. It says for now you're going to meet at at Wadsworth offices, which are near the district boundaries. If and when there are buildings within PALMSLA or within the PID that you can meet at, we'll adopt a new resolution designating that new address.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Just looking for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. This next item is a little bit fun. So also the law changed to require you to amend your governing document to change how the board is comprised. And I know there have been some offline discussions about this, so I want to just first present the item, and then I think there's a lot to talk about here. So statute was changed to require you to amend your governing document no later than July 1st, 2026. To allow PALMSLA to appoint up to 40% or 2 seats of the 5 seats on the board. What it requires to amend your governing document is a resolution adopted by you as the PID board and a resolution adopted by PALMSLA as their board. Obviously, July 6th is approaching quickly, so this is on your May agenda So hopefully we can get it on POMSLA's June agenda so we can have this all done by July 1st. Thank you for bringing up the statute there. So the...
Megan, can I ask a question?
Oh, yes, sir. Sorry.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. So what would POMSLA board, what would that look like? What document would that look like they would need to approve?
This same one, right?
Yep. So like when we amended the annexation area, Mike, it's a resolution adopted by POMSLA, a resolution adopted by this PID board. And then if Shannon or Jake, if you don't mind zooming out, it's just called a first amendment to the governing document. And it just says, here's the paragraphs we're explicitly amending. And the only change is to the Board of Trustees section to the governing document, Mike. So just that section 6 that you see there to comply with the law.
Got you. Thank you.
Of course.
So Megan, I have a couple questions on this.
Yes.
I want to get the baseline. There's some technical changes. There's some reality. All of our board members already were appointed by POMSLA. So we kind of are already fulfilling this obligation or have fulfilled this obligation. We're just amending the governing document such that it says that because POMSLA appointed 100%. That being said, I know there's been some offline conversations, but the question I have is is there a time frame? Because my concern is this lasts in perpetuity. Right, because our governing document said to the extent that there's a vacancy, you know, it can be appointed, but post there's a switch in our existing governing documents that say after the terms are up, then it's, you know, the ground lessees that are appointing or the people that are in the district that are appointing these people. So the question that I have is the clarification, is it forever in perpetuity that POMSLA will do it, or is it does the switch still happen? And it tells us that switch that POMSLA will do it. Does that make sense?
It does. Do you mind if I share, Jake or Shannon, just the red line version of this? I don't have the power to share right now.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Thank you so much.
Megan. You should be good, Megan.
So here is what you're governing. Can you see this okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So the red line change is the only change to your governing document. So this first paragraph remains how it's been remained. 5 trustees appointed by POMSLA. That's where you've been. They're at large seats. They have these staggered terms, etc. Trustee 5 is the executive director of POMSLA or designee. That's Mike C. Okay. So that's all happened right now. What the law says is effective July 1st, POMSLA could replace seat number 4, which I'll just call Trevor's seat. So we're all thinking of the same thing. And then when the terms of trustees...
I want to clarify, Megan.
Yep.
I want to make sure, because I'm not sure that's entirely accurate, which is POMSLA replacing is different than POMSLA... appointing. And so POMSLA does not have the ability to kick someone off the board that has been appointed. That I read, POMSLA has the ability to in a vacancy to appoint, as opposed to, you know, kicking Jay off the board.
I understand your question now. Correct. So it says POMSLA can appoint trustees 4 and 5, which they have done.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Now I understand your question. So that's the change, is that 1 through 4 switch to the ground lessees, but now it's just 1 through 3 at this future time, right? Future board composition, section B, used to be the ground lessees got to pick 1 through 4. Now you get to pick 1 through 3. If you don't pick someone, the royal you, all the ground lessees, then POMSLA has discretion to fill that seat. Let's say only 3 ground lessee reps come forward, or 2. Does that answer the question better?
Yeah, and so I was just making sure that it doesn't change anything relating to POMSLA's ability to kick someone off the board once they've been appointed. It's really,
correct,
to the extent there's a vacancy, then they can appoint after the extent that either a term expires or someone resigns, then PUMSLA can appoint for those two positions.
Yep, they've got one more seat. So before they had just seat five, now they'll have 4 and 5 once Trevor or whoever's term, I don't mean to pick on you, Trevor, expires.
Oh, no, that's already been, yeah, you're good.
Okay, so I just want to make sure everybody understands the change in the law. This, what I tried to make as the minorest amendment possible, Mike, for PUMSLA to be comfortable, just the smallest change to the governing document I could think of. But if PUMSLA and your legal staff want to do something different, of course, we'll work with you to, you know,
this
get it right.
Seems right to me. This captures the intent of the law.
Okay. So the first step for you today as the PID board is to adopt this subject to final legal review. Then we'll send it over to Mike as a package and say, can we get on PUMSLA's June agenda so they can adopt it, which would culminate this all before the July 1st deadline.
I'll make a motion to adopt the new law.
I'll second.
A second. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Megan, how does this work for Trevor in practice? He signed his resignation, but the board hasn't acknowledged it. Does he stay on the board then until this next appointment is made?
Yes, and Trevor is on the board. So he is falling under, if you can go back to sharing, Jake, so we're under subsection 6A right now. Trevor was appointed by PUMSLA, that first sentence of subsection A, and his term has not run out, so he can stay on the board. I'm just saying what the document says. I know there might be some other conversations we need to talk about. He can stay on the board for, I believe he has a term of 4 years, but the agenda will tell us. And then at the end of that 4 years, PUMSLA could choose to reappoint Trevor to seat 4. Or they could choose someone different.
Yep. And that being said, let's just call it what it is. There's a business deal that's been cut with some of the legislatures, essentially, where the expectation is that they would like to have another appointee on the board. And so, you know, Trevor has provided a letter. It's not formal yet in terms of finalization, in terms of resignation, until the other new appointee from PUMSLA is kind of identified and finalized. And if and when they have someone, then we would come back and adopt. I don't know if we need to adopt the resignation or if that just happens. And then once that's official and that we're really waiting on PUMSLA's appointee, then that would be adopted by PUMSLA in their board meeting. And then would we have to, I don't think we have to do anything once they appoint it, right, Megan?
Right. We just put an acknowledgement in your minutes so you just know we're welcoming a new trustee, person X. But this board doesn't take any action. So it'd be waiting on the PUMSLA board to identify person X and make a motion in a second and pass to appoint them.
Okay. And Mike, do you expect that would happen in this next board meeting?
I literally just started saying that and I was on mute. Yes, I believe that that will happen in the June 10th board meeting.
So then, Trevor, the letter that you have signed already, we would make official in terms of presenting it to this body and go from there.
Sounds good. Thanks, Robert.
Yeah.
Thanks for all your work on this. We'll work with Mike and his team to get this over to the PUMSLA board for their June meeting.
Thanks, Megan. And one more thing before we move on to the cost acceptance. When we were scheduling this meeting, we got feedback from the board that the 9 a.m. time slot may work better for the group, moving it from 11. Do we want to talk about formally moving the regular meeting time to 9 a.m.? Is there an ongoing conflict at our previous 11 a.m. slot?
It wasn't for me, so I think it was maybe Jay or Zach, as I recall. I'm fine with either time.
Yeah, I think our... Let me go back. I'm trying to remember.
Robert, can you say that again? Sorry, I was taking a side call real quick.
Jay, the time frame for the board meetings, there was a conflict at our normally scheduled 11 a.m. I think you had said you have a conflict.
Oh, yeah, I did.
And is that a regularly occurring or a one-time thing?
It is regularly occurring.
How about you, Zach? Is
yeah, no, that time's 11? Good. I think that regular time works for me. Yeah, I was just going back and looking at that. I can remember having a conflict. So I think that was on Jay's end. It should normally be fine for me.
Does it 9 o'clock work for everyone? A regular time frame.
That's fine for me too.
9 or 11 worked for me.
Oh, you're good at 11, Jay?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I thought you said you had a recurring conflict. 11 is the normally scheduled time.
Well, it's just our biweekly progress meeting is the conflict at 10.
That's at 10.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about, crickets. You're talking about 11. I'm okay at 11.
Okay, so it sounds like we can keep it where it was, and it was a one-time thing for this board meeting.
Very good.
Sounds good. We'll keep the regular meeting at 11 on the third Thursday of each month. Thanks, gentlemen. Barrett, did you want to take the item F here?
Sure. This is kind of what Zach was talking about earlier. Andrew, who actually is the one who did the review, is out on PTO today, so filling in for him here. But I guess high level, this cert is, we reviewed $215,000 and change of invoices, and we're certifying 104,000 and change is eligible. Does anybody have any questions in particular they want me to dive into? Okay. If not, can I get a motion for approval of our certification?
I'm just reviewing it real quick.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Sorry, Zach.
No, you're good. I would motion to approve.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you. On to the non-action items. So we've talked about this a couple of times, the board trainings. There's two, the Open Meetings Act training, which is a yearly requirement, then the Special Service District Board Member training, which is a one-time requirement. And with Brendan and Derek working with the audit team and, you know, to complete the record for overall compliance, we need to ensure that everyone on the board has both of these complete. And I can resend these links after the meeting or, you know, and they're in their packet here. But we, for this first one here, we're current on Robert and Trevor. And then for the second one, Jake, I think we have Zach's certificate. So maybe Betsy, you have other certificates or board members. You have them, but we just need to make sure we have those on file so we're current with our state compliance.
And both are annual?
The Open Meetings Act training is annual. And then, and you're good on 2026, Robert, you and Trevor there. And then the Special District Board Member training number 2 here is just one time.
So Shannon, I sent over my certificates yesterday to Brian. Don't know if you saw those. Just let me know if those were. I thought
he said. Zach, good, I saw those come through, so you're good on that one.
Okay.
We would just need the annual done again for 2026. That first training.
Just at some point this year.
I would say sooner and later, just so that we have it on file. As far as time frame, I'd refer to Derek and Brendan because they would be the ones that would need it probably first.
Okay.
So I've got the special district and service training certificate. I did it in 2025. Is that good?
Yes, that's one time.
So Shannon, I'll send it to you.
Thank you.
I have a question. So I actually just did the Open Public Meetings Act training in my last board meeting. All of our board members did.
I like that idea.
It's recorded. I don't know how do I get credit for that.
So I had a question about that, Mike. I know you guys had your attorney review it. That counts versus the class that you take online?
Yeah, that counts.
Okay.
I think you should take it again, Mike.
You know, I already have. I swear I just took this thing like a couple months ago.
I was thinking the same thing. So, Shannon, do you and the Pinnacle team, do you not have either of these for me?
We do not, no.
Okay. Flunky. All right, I'll get them. I know I've taken I just haven't sent the certificate, so I need to go back in and do that.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. We'll get it all figured out. Megan, is there anything we need a document for Mike's training he did during the board meeting?
So I did the training for 2005, so that doesn't count, right?
You did the training for 2025, Mike, which will count for the 2025 audit, and then you'll have to do a training for 2026 for the 2026 audit, and it just goes on and on.
Does the special district service, is that a one-time thing or is that an annual?
One time.
Okay, I have that one. I have the certificate for that as well.
Great.
Thank you.
And then, like I said, I just did the training last week in a board meeting. Open Public Meetings Act.
So you should be able to download that video, Shannon, from the UPN. As evidence that the training was completed.
Okay.
Does that count for me who witnessed that training, Mike, in the public?
It should. I mean, you saw the same thing I did.
I feel like their training has rubbed off on me. I feel like that should count for me. This discussion should maybe help. You guys would so oblige.
Well, thank you for the trainings, gentlemen. And then the conflict of interest disclosure forms. I believe we have those for Zach and Trevor. Megan or Betsy, are you tracking different or have any input on the disclosure forms?
You should have mine.
We have Roberts. Janet.
Okay.
I think Zach and Trevor's are the ones we need.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
How often do we have to send that in? Because I know I sent that in 2025.
That's also every year in January, in case anything has changed.
Is that our list of like investments and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think I have that ready. And then, so I think I can submit that. I didn't really want to, but, wait, I mean, yeah, it seems like an interesting requirement. I may have some questions on that. I didn't really want to send that in, but
Zach, I can tell you how I solved the problem.
Okay.
Robert has a good solution.
Yeah. Yeah. I seem to remember we chatted about that briefly, but okay, yeah, I'll work on getting that in.
Megan and Betsy, just confirming, those conflict of interest forms, I believe I read there's a requirement that those be posted on the website too. I just wanted to run that by you and make sure that's correct.
That is correct.
Okay. So I'll keep that. Yeah.
And that's why we talked to Robert and tried to come up with a solution. Zach, we're not trying to get too deep in your business. So please reach out to him if you need help.
Yeah, I'll talk to you. The other one I think was also just, I think I had it ready and I needed to get it notarized too, which we didn't have a notary in our office. And so, yeah, Robert, I'll give you a call.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you all for those forms and trainings. And then moving on to our executive session. Megan, how would you like to facilitate that?
I'm hoping Betsy's available to jump in on that. Betsy, can you hear us?
You're on mute.
I can hear. Sorry, I'm just getting out of my car. I was coming from my car. Hold on a second. Okay. Yeah. So somebody needs to make a motion to move into the executive session, noting that they need to note the purpose that's stated on the agenda, and then that needs to be seconded. And then to go into the session, you need to take a vocal or take a vote of each board member, pull each board member there.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to move into executive session pursuant to Utah Code 52-42051D to discuss strategy session regarding a proposed development agreement, project proposal, or financing proposal.
Thank you, Robert. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. So we'll pull the board. Jay?
Yep.
Robert?
Yes.
Zachary?
Yes.
Trevor?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Hearing all in favor. Okay, I'm not sure how you want to do it on Teams.